We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Hebrews chapter 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, everybody say by faith. This is Hebrews chapter 3. And the Bible says that the book of Hebrews, this chapter of Hebrews, chapter 11, it all talks about the hall of fame, those who live by faith. And it specifically names people. And last Sunday, I talked about five things that will diminish your faith and five things that will strengthen your faith and how that faith conquers. And I want to keep talking to you today in a two-week mini-series about a conquering faith. So the Bible says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. How many believe that's true? How many believe that God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth? How many believe that? Praise the Lord. Well, let me tell you, that's not being taught in our schools today. And let me tell you, that's not being taught in our colleges today. Something quite contrary to that, but I believe the Bible. Well, why do we believe God made the heavens and the earth? Because God's word said he did. And I'm a person that believes the word of God. And how do we believe it? By faith. Amen. It's like, you know, I certainly don't believe Darwin and evolution. I don't believe we just came from some big bang in the cosmos. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. And it says by faith we do that. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, watch this, Noah, when warned about things that was not yet seen, built an ark to save his family. Can I tell you something? We read that, but I wonder if today we have faith for our family's salvation. Of things not yet seen. Let me tell you, hell is real. Destruction is real. Come on, somebody. God is real. Jesus is real. Satan is real. Hell is real. Life and death are real. And it's too late when you die to get this sorted out. And by faith, even though Noah had never even seen rain ever on the earth, built an ark because he loved his family, and at least he was going to save his family. And I just wonder today, how much faith do we have for our family? Faith for our family versus destruction. Some parents, Christian parents, don't seem to care. Some parents live like hell isn't real and there's still time. And I'm not trying to put a heavy on anybody today, but I'm just saying, come on, we got to have faith for our family salvation. It's got to be working in our family first. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place where he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and he went. Well, how did he do it? By faith. Even though he did not know where he was going, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign company. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. The Bible says it takes faith to follow God. By faith, Abraham went to a foreign land. I don't know about you, but you know, I've been to different countries and foreign countries. I got to tell you, there's some things that makes it a little bit unsettling being in a foreign country. I remember that one of the most stressful times ever for me is when I first went to Italy, and I was going there to spy out the land so that we could plant a church. And this is back in Australia, in the church I worked for there. And I was sent to go and look in the city of Milan. Well, no one. I thought surely someone would speak English, but I couldn't find anybody that would even at least admit they could speak English. And I'm trying to get directions, and I didn't have a GPS because the rental car company didn't. I asked for one, but they didn't give me one. So I'm trying to read a map, but it's all in Italian. And I'm trying to get to the hotel in this rental car. Let me tell you, that was stressful. And the Bible says here that by faith, Abraham went into a foreign land. That tells me something about it takes faith to follow God, even when there's more preferable options. Abraham was comfortable and familiar where he was, but he was willing to step out into the different, into the new. And how do you do that? By faith. And by faith, he passed that on to the next generation, to Isaac and Jacob. Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose, watch this, by faith to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. By faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be known as the house of Pharaoh. By faith, he chose to be mistreated. Can I tell you, in the culture that we live in today, I just want to encourage you, is a decision to live by faith, no matter how unpopular the word of God is in today's world, no matter how much people want to say contrary to it, I will choose to live a life of faith in the word of God, no matter how I would choose to be mistreated by the world than to be accepted and blend into the world. Can anybody say amen? If you're going to give God praise, that's a good point to give him praise. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, who through faith conquered kingdoms. Watch this, administered justice and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. So I want to talk today about a faith that conquers. A faith that overcomes, a faith that gets you into your promised land, a faith that you pass on to the next generation. Amen? Amen. I want to talk today about how to live with a faith that conquers in Jesus' name. And the first thing I want to do, some of you look cold today, praise the Lord. Is it cold in here this morning? I'm seeing a few people looking a bit chilly. Praise the Lord. It's because you weren't singing and worshiping enough. You didn't get enough circulation in you. Praise the Lord. Amen. So here's a couple of thoughts. Somebody in the front row looked up at him and says, it is cold, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Okay, number one, listen to this. Hope is the doorway to faith. Hope is the doorway to faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things, what? Hope for. Can I say this to you? Listen to it carefully. Hope is not faith. Hope in and of itself, when you say, well, I hope so, hope is good, but hope is not yet faith. Hope is the pathway or the doorway to faith. It is not yet faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not yet seen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope in and of itself is not faith. Right. Amen. You can have hope, but not have faith. But you cannot have faith and not have hope. There's a lot of things people can live in hope for. The Bible says this hope we have, which is an anchor to our soul. Hope is good. Hope is the doorway to faith. I think it was last Sunday or a week or two ago, I talked about everything starts with seeds. I think it was 2 weeks ago when I was talking about, hey, that's my harvest. And I talked about everything happens in seed form. So in a marriage, when you have a fight and you are in an argument and you walk out on your spouse, that is the seed of a divorce. I'm leaving you. Are you hearing me? And we understand everything starts in seed form. So because of that, I made a decision that I don't ever want to plant a seed of divorce in my marriage. I made a decision that I will not walk out on my wife. We've had to end some conversations unresolved. Right. Are you hearing me? With a commitment to resolve them. But I made a decision I will never plant the seed of a divorce in my marriage. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you about faith. Faith, hope is the seed of faith. It is the doorway to faith. Are you catching this? So we need to have some hope. Look what the Bible says, and I love this here, because I actually believe this with all my heart. I've been a pastor since I've been 20 years of age. I'm now 57. I love saying I'm 57 because I can only say that for another two more weeks and then I can't say it anymore. Praise the Lord. But I've been an ordained minister since I was 20 years old. That means for 37 years, I've been preaching the Word of God. I've been a pastor leading people. So over those 37 years, I've encountered a lot of people. And one of the things I believe that is needed in the church over those 37 years of pastoring is we need to learn how to bounce back better than we do. Some of us, when we get knocked down, are too slow to get up again. And I know that we will get knocked down. But my question is, are you going to get up again? And I see things happen, we get set back. So look at the Apostle Paul. And Paul is trying to give us perspective about the bounce back factor. And look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side. Let me ask you a question. Be honest with me. Everybody online, come on, stay with me now. How many of you know what it is in your life at some point in time, maybe more than once or twice, where you have found yourself to be hard pressed on every side? Who's ever been there? You say, like you wake up and the first thing you feel is the challenges and the weight of life. You're on your way to work, you're feeling hard pressed. You get to work and there's challenges at work. You go to lunch, you take the challenges with you to lunch. You're on your way home, there's just everywhere you go, there just seems you're hard pressed. You get home and all you can think about is all the pressures on every side. It feels like you just can't get any relief. Anybody know that feeling? Well, here's the Apostle Paul and he's going, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Did you hear it? It's not that Paul's not saying there aren't challenges in life. Hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Who's ever been perplexed? I just don't know what to do. I don't know. I'm hard pressed on every side. Oh, I'm perplexed. But look what he says. I'm not in despair. I'm not without hope. Persecuted. I mean, the world's getting on me and I'm persecuted and people laugh at me and other people may laugh at me and other people may walk out of my life because of what I believe. But I want to tell you, I'm persecuted, but not abandoned. God is with me. Struck down, but not destroyed. Can I tell you, I believe with all my heart, we need to know the power of hope. We've got to know what hope does. Hope is the doorway to faith. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. It says in Romans 1 verse 17, for in the righteousness of God is revealed, for in it rather, the righteousness of God is revealed. Watch this, from faith to faith. Okay, 1000 North Breakneck Road, Wave Church. Have we got that? Yes. So when I stop and I'm actually wanting you to shout out the next word, that's your chance, okay? Wave Church. Everybody got the right church? So we'll try that again. Are you ready for it? For it in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to
faith.
There you are. Praise the Lord. As it is written, the just shall live by
faith.
Did you catch it? Hey, I want you to look at this. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10. Oh, you guys are jumping on me now. All right. For you have need of endurance. Here's the Apostle Paul, and he's writing. Well, actually, I don't know if it is the Apostle Paul. Sometimes I think he wrote parts of this. That's why I said that. For you have need of endurance, so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet in a little while, and the coming one will soon come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by
faith.
And if he shrinks back, my soul will take no pleasure in him. We are not of those that shrink back and destroyed, but those who have and preserve their souls. Can I tell you, the first thing you got to have if you're going to have a conquering faith is you got to have hope. And you've got to know that actually we will be struck down, but you will not be destroyed. You may be perplexed, but you are not despaired. You may be persecuted, but you're not abandoned in Jesus' name. This hope we have is an anchor to our soul. I just want to say today that one of the ways we have a conquering faith, it starts with hope in Jesus' name. Amen. Number two, you got to learn how to talk to your soul. You want to have a faith that conquers, a faith that rises, a faith that routs foreign armies. You want to have a faith that receives back from the dead back to life again. You want to see miracles come in your life. You want to live a life of breakthrough. You've got to be somebody, listen to it carefully. You've got to learn how to talk to your soul. And I'm not talking like sing the blues. I'm not talking about nobody knows the trouble I've seen. I'm not talking about singing the blues. I'm talking about talking to your soul. I'm talking about learning how to speak to the depths of your being. Did you know that psychologists tell us that we speak to ourselves, self-talk it's called, at a rate of 2,000 to 3,000 words per minute? Now, it is physically impossible to speak that many words audibly. Right. I don't know what the most is you can get out, maybe in a minute, maybe a couple of hundred words that you could get out of your mouth, but you can talk to yourself at a rate of 2,000 to 3,000 words per minute. So self-talk really matters.
Right.
What are you saying to yourself? You know what the Bible says? As a man thinks in his heart, come on online. I want you to catch this. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are the product of your thought life.
Right.
Self-talk. I mean, I'm not even, when I hear those statistics, I'm not even as concerned necessarily what the media is trying to tell me and what the world's trying to tell me as much as what I'm telling to myself.
Right.
Well, what I'm saying to myself is based on those external things, but it's also founded in internal things if I have the right things.
Right.
So you've got to understand that you are talking to yourself. Look what David said. It says here in Psalm 43, why, my soul, are you downcast? David was able to get in touch with the depths of his emotions. David was able to talk to his soul. What's up?
Right.
What's wrong with you? Why are you down, oh my soul? And I don't think it's an unhealthy thing to talk to your soul. As long as you learn what David did. He talked to his soul, but he just talked to him. Look what he did. Why are you downcast, oh my soul? Why so disturbed within me? In other words, what's up? Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my God and my Savior. You got to learn to get in touch with your soul. If your soul's down, if you have anxiety, fear, and depression, it's not as if you can't ignore those things. You can talk to those things. God's not shocked. He already knew you had them before you ever spoke to them. It's not as if you can't admit there's something going on in your life, but you got to train your soul and you got to educate your soul and you got to teach your soul. You can get in touch with what's going on, but you can tell your soul, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What's up, man? Come on, get on top of this. Put your hope in God. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Look what David said in Psalm 16. The lines of my boundary have fallen in pleasant places. Surely my inheritance will be delightful. Inheritance is something that is out there in the future. I will bless the Lord. Watch this. Who counsels me? At night, it says, my conscience or my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I will not be shaken. Look at this. My heart counsels me in the night season. Here's David going, why are you down? Oh, my soul, put your hope in God. And now he says something in the night season. He gets instructions from his heart. Well, we know the Bible says, Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But I want to tell you, if you wait for the night season to find out what the instructions of your heart are going to get, it's too late. You got to make sure the right things are in your heart. So when the night season comes, the heart that instructs you is giving you the right instructions. Amen. But I will promise you this, whatever is going on in the night season, whatever's in your heart, they will be the instructions. And COVID revealed a lot of that. COVID revealed a lot of what's really in people's hearts. Because in that night season, boy, I heard a lot of people get instruction from their hearts. I'm not so sure it was as much as in line with the Word of God as it was what was in their heart.
Right.
See, the Bible says in the night season, your heart will instruct you.
Right.
So you got to make sure the right things are in your heart before the night season comes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I think this is good preaching myself. So you got to learn to talk to your soul. You got to learn to speak to your soul. Amen. You got to teach it and you got to train it. Amen. Number three, listen to this. Don't speak until your heart's on fire. I'm talking about faith, but I'm talking about this area where so much of where faith comes and hope starts with hope. Amen. And then you're able to talk to your soul. But number three, you don't speak until your heart's on fire. Look at this verse here. I love this one. Look what the Bible says. It says in Psalm 39, verse 3, my heart, ever say heart? Heart. Ever say heart? Is that better? It says so much more anointed when you say heart, doesn't it? My heart, look at this, grew hot within me. How many's ever felt, how many know that what it is for your heart to just grow hot? Something just, you feel this growing heat in your heart. Anybody know what I'm talking about? My heart grew hot within me while I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. So here's the thought. Don't speak until your heart's on fire. Amen. Don't speak until your heart's on fire. My heart grew hot within me. And as I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke, listen to this, with my tongue. Can I say to you and I this morning, the Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. And we underestimate the power of our words. That we have to make sure that we don't speak until our heart is on fire. And how do we our heart get on fire? Through meditation. And what is it we're meditating on? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So we're meditating on the Word of God, not just what the world's telling us. We're not just getting voices from the world telling us what's going on. I thank God for science. I thank God for medicine. Amen. I'm not against those things. This week, I was in Colorado Springs. I got a headache. So what did I do? I grabbed some Tylenol and I laid hands on him and said, dear God, let these things work in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not anti-science. I'm not anti-medicine, but my faith does not come from those things. Do you know the reason why there's more miracles in third world countries than there is the Western world? Because we have so much access to science and medicine that we don't even need faith for these things anymore. We just turn instantly and quickly and first to doctors. We turn to science more than we do to God. But in third world countries, they don't have the access to technology and the things we have. So we do not need, listen to these people, it's either trust God or die. Are you hearing me? That's why they often will see more miracles than we'll ever see in our world. And I'm not against science. I'm not against medication. But I want to tell you, I made a decision. I'm going to be a person who lives by this principle, always only faith. Faith doesn't let you do anything. If I'm going to be a person of faith, there's some things I can't say. Right. Are you hearing me? I can't afford to say they'll never get saved. I can't afford to say that'll never happen. Right. I'm going to choose to always live by faith. Faith doesn't let me do anything. Faith actually puts a lot of restrictions on my life, godly restrictions. In other words, I'm going to live by faith and not by sight. As I listen to this, my heart grew hot within me. As I meditated, the fire burned. Then I see too many people speaking before their heart's on fire. I hear too many people underestimating the power of their words and just letting words come out of their mouth that I actually think, come on, you got to make sure that your heart is hot within you. And as the fire, come on, as you meditate, the fire burns. Can I encourage you? We've got to be people who are in the Word of God. We've got to get the right instructions in our heart. So in the night season, the right instructions are coming out in Jesus' name. Is anybody catching this? I'm talking about a faith that conquers. But this is where that comes from. Don't speak until your heart is on fire. And number four, listen to this one. Your eyes are the window to your soul. There's a lot of science and medicine and the whole idea of, you know, looking into a person's eyeballs to see the health of a human being. And there's a lot of truth in that about eye doctors and what they can see about your whole body and the healthy whole body just by looking into your eyes. Well, that's science and medicine. I'll leave that to them. But the Bible tells me, look at this. The Bible says this. Look, in Matthew 6, the eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? The eye is the lamp of the body. In other words, listen to this, your eyes are a window to your soul. Are you hearing me? Now what's your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. What does it say? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So your heart is thinking. Thank you for the underwhelming response. Your heart is thinking. Your heart is thinking right now. And your eyes are the window to your soul. There's a lot. Now, I'm not going to get too weird into this, but, you know, I've studied a little bit of body language. As a communicator, you want to make sure you're able to read a room.
Right.
You want to make sure you're able to see how your message is going over. You want to make sure you're delivering it as best you can. So I've read a lot of different books about body language, about, you know, I've met some people in our church who are involved in our military and our police who are involved in interrogating people, maybe for a crime that's been committed, and they tell there's a lot to a person's eyes. That actually you can tell whether a person's lying or telling the truth just by their eyes. I have a friend, he's the national champion in Japan. He's the national samurai sword, you know, Japanese samurai sword, whatever the word is. Shinsei, I'll call him that. I just made that up. I don't know what the right word is, but he's a martial art national world champion, actually. Number one samurai swordsman in the whole nation of Japan. I said to him, I said, tell me, what's the key? What's the edge to be the number one samurai sword warrior in Japan? He goes, it's all to do with the eyes. I said, really? What do you mean with the eyes? He goes, right now, as I'm standing here talking to you, he goes, and I'm standing here, I can see your feet. And I said, well, of course you can if you look down. He goes, I'm looking into your eyes and I can see your feet. He goes, I can anticipate the move of my competitor before he moves. And I can see his feet. And if his foot turns this way, I know which way he's going to turn. And I can get in front of him because I can see it in his eyes. Now, I don't even understand that. But I want to test it. I said, you look me in my eyes and I'm going to move my foot. So I said, you can't look down. I said, I'm going to move my foot. I'm going to try and move my foot without you even knowing. But you can't look down. You got to look at me. And I moved my foot just back like that. And he says, you moved your right foot back. I said, my gosh. I said, can you do the hokey pokey? Your eyes are the window to your soul. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If your eyes are full of light, how bright is the light? But if your eyes are dark, how great is the darkness? I'm driving my car up 264 from Virginia Beach to Norfolk. Who's ever done this? You drive your car and all of a sudden you just rub your eye as you're driving. Who's ever done that? Maybe something gets in your eye, something, you know, and you just rub your eye. Well, to my shock, when I rubbed my left eye, I couldn't see out the windshield with my right eye. And I was shocked. I went, oh my gosh, everything was blurry. I honestly couldn't see a thing. And I went, I'm blind. In my right eye. I went straight to an eye doctor. I said, doctor, what is wrong with me? And they looked into my eyes. They said, yes, you have a massive cataract on your right eye and you've got a small cataract in your left eye. I said, I'm 57 years old. Have you heard that age? I'm still saying that age. I love saying that age. Praise the Lord. 57 years old. I said, how does a young man such as myself get cataracts? And he said, number one, how young do you think you are? But number two, this is going to be a good lesson for some of you. He goes, let me ask you a question. Do you go out on the water a lot? I said, oh, I live on the water. I love the water. I've got a boat. I've got a jet ski. My whole life I've been on the water. I'm from Australia, for goodness sake. I grew up on beaches every day. I love the water. He goes, well, that's how you got cataracts. He goes, do you wear sunglasses? I said, no, I never wear sunglasses. He goes, well, the sun reflects off the water into your eyes, and that's how you got cataracts. I said, good to know. For those who are young, wear sunglasses. You hearing me? So he did, the doctor did eye surgery. And then I said, well, while I'm there, what can you do to help me out? And they put some panoptic lenses in my eyes. And I went back and had my eyesight tested. And I now have the eyesight I used to have before I had cataracts. 2015, not 2020, 2015. I can, and all my staff were getting more and more powerful magnifying glasses so I could read, because I was getting blinder and blinder because I didn't know about the cataracts. There's some people here and we've got spiritual cataracts in our eyes. We're living, we're existing, but we don't know how much the darkness has blinded us from seeing what's really going on. The Bible says the eye is the window to the soul. Look what Job said. Job 31 verse 1, I made a covenant with my eyes to look, not to look lustfully at a woman. Now listen, at a young woman. Look at this now. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. I want you to notice here, you cannot stop a bird from flying over your head.
Right.
You can't help yourself if you're a man from noticing a beautiful young woman. Can all the men at least say amen? Some of you are too scared because your wife is sitting right next to you. I didn't say lustfully, but you can't help but know there's a beautiful young woman. Any man can say amen to that. You bunch of gutless wonders. Amen. Amen. Says the guy in the front row with hustle written on his shirt. I love it. Hey, it's the truth. Hey, but I made a covenant I won't look lustfully.
Right.
You can't stop a bird from flying over your head. You can't walk around going, oh! But you can stop it from nesting in your hair.
Right. Good.
You can't stop. We're in this world. We're not of it. Can anybody say amen? Oh, come on, church. Can we get real for a minute here? Okay, this is how that works. I made a covenant with my eyes. I will not allow that to turn into a lustful thought. Come on, somebody. And that is why, after all the lack of response from the men, I can see why the Holy Spirit put this in my heart. This next fall semester, I'm going to be doing every other week for 12 weeks, but for every other week, I'm going to meet with all the men who want to meet with me for 6 of the 12 weeks, every other week, about mentoring and discipling, training men how to be men of honor, men of integrity, men of the word, men of faith, men of purity. And I'm going to ask all the men who want to join me to be with me in that. Look at the Bible says, Psalm 101, verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Well, let me put that in a more modern day translation. Netflix. Fios. Come on, somebody. Roku. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. Look at this. It shall not cleave to me. What are you setting in front of your eyes? Because the eyes are the window to your soul. I talk to young people all the time. One of the greatest things that young people deal with today is fear, anxiety, and depression. And it's always the same question. What are you reading?
Right.
What are you looking at?
Right.
Who are you listening to? Your eye gates, your ear gates. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you just cut out some of these things, right, you'd be a lot healthier. You'd be a lot happier. If you just stop watching some of those horror movies, if you just don't give yourself to certain things, I will set no... What are you setting in front of your eyes? Come on, somebody. This is good preaching. All right. And number 5, and I'm done. Singers, musicians, come on back. I want to just talk to you just for a moment about there's 3 kinds of faith. And the first kind is a saving faith. Be honest with me now. Come on, look at me, church. Look at me, everybody online. How many of you know today that you are saved by grace through faith? How many of you know today you are saved by grace through faith? Let me see. All right, if you don't have your hand up, we got a special happening for you in just a moment. Okay, how many of you today, I'm going to try it one more time because I want the whole church, I want everybody online, thumbs up, whatever emoji you can give me. How many of you know today that you are saved by grace through faith? Let me see your hand. Okay, do you know what that's called? That's called a saving faith. Look what the Bible says. Look at this real quick. For it is by grace you have been saved. Watch this, through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Okay, what's the gift of God? Grace. It's the gift that God gives us. So first of all, there's a saving faith. We want a faith that conquers. That's the first thing. That faith conquers the grave. That faith conquers hell. Not just when you die, hell on earth. Amen? It's a saving faith. Secondly, there's a gift of faith. Look what the Bible says here. Look at this. 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 12. It says, to another, look at this, to another faith by the same Spirit. This is in the context of the gifts of the Spirit. So the Bible says there's a gift of faith where faith enters your heart for a moment to believe God for something that would take a miracle. And it's a gift of faith. Now, my Bible tells me the only way which we can get this gift of faith, listen to this, is through the laying on of hands. The Apostle Paul said, I long to be with you that I may lay hands on you, that I might impart spiritual gifts. Did you hear it? He says, so this gift of faith isn't like something that is a spirit of faith you have with you. It's a manifestation for a moment, for a situation, for you, or for something or someone else. Does that make sense? It's a gift of faith. I talked about it a few weeks ago with Sharon. Can we have this mic on, please? I talked about it with Sharon a few weeks ago. Thank you. And Sharon actually had a gift of faith that she was going to believe God. This is when we first got married, that we're going to buy a house for $55,000. When I mean this now, the cheapest house was $100,000 in the city in which we lived. I know we're aging ourselves right now, but this is back in Australia. And I saw her and I heard her say, I'm believing God for a miracle that we'll buy a house. And I'll be honest with you, I rebuked her. I said, honey, there's faith and there's ridiculous. There's no such thing. And I meant it. I'm being honest with you. I actually honestly said that's an impossibility, but that's what faith does. Faith conquers. And I looked at her and, you know, blow me down. Within a few short weeks, Sharon found the house in a newspaper, private sale, a house for $56,000 with a quarter acre land with a mountain view. And we went down and spoke to that guy. And the next morning we bought that house for $56,000. A year later, we sold it for $103,000. That's a gift of faith. Are you hearing me? And I want to tell you, that gift can be given through the laying on of hands. How many want that gift of faith? Okay? And here's the third one, three kinds of faith. Look at this one. This is the spirit of faith. And it says in 2 Corinthians 4, for it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Remember we read earlier, my heart grew hot within me. As I meditated, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Look what it says here. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. See, this is a spirit of faith. This is something that I want to encourage everybody in Wave Church to live with. Not just the gift of faith for a moment, but a spirit of faith is something you take with you. It's where you are aware of the power of your words. It's a spirit of faith that happens across your life where you don't just give in to anything and anything that happens in the world, even arising above COVID in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. A spirit of faith that rises above science. A spirit of faith that rises above what the doctors say. A spirit of faith that says, come on, we can do this in Jesus' name. A spirit of faith that says, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff are with me, and they comfort me. And you dwell, it says, you make a table before me, the presence of my enemies. Come on, somebody. You got a spirit of faith. I'm going to talk to you about conquering faith. And this morning I had it in my heart. I want to pray for people today who really are believing God for that gift of faith. Maybe right now you're believing God for a house. Maybe right now you're believing for a healing or a miracle. Maybe right now there's just supernatural guidance needed and wisdom. I wrote down a couple of things. I felt this morning, maybe you're believing God for a baby. Maybe this morning you're believing God for a job. Maybe you're believing for your spouse. Maybe you're believing for your family. There's many here. I wrote this down. I felt the Holy Spirit gave me these called words of knowledge, which is one of the other nine manifestation gifts of the Spirit. Maybe today you're just believing God for finances and you're just believing God for just, you know, money doesn't grow in trees. It comes by faith. Are you hearing me? Hey, a lot of people need finances, but God does not answer need. A lot of people need a miracle, but God does not answer need. There's a lot of need out there. God only answers faith. And I want to pray for people that the only way which this can be given is for the laying on of hands. So I want to pray for people today. You say, Steve, I want that gift. I need that gift. There's something in my life right now where I need the gift of faith. The Bible shows me the way in which it's given is from the laying on of hands. You can't give what you don't have. Can I tell you, probably the most recurring gift in my life is the gift of faith. Of all the nine manifestation gifts of the Spirit, the one that is most reoccurring in my life is a gift of faith. So I wonder today, how many people today say, Steve, I don't have that gift of faith, but I need that gift of faith because I'm believing God for something right now and I need just a gift of faith for that answered prayer, whether it be for you or for someone else. Let me see your hand if that's you. Amen. Oh, yeah. See, that's the whole church. All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. Okay. If you need that gift operating in your life, would you stand up? If you need that, you just raised your hand a moment ago. Stand up. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'd love to lay hands on each and every one of you. Praise the Lord. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask Church, how many of you actually have operated in a gift of faith that are sitting down? How many have operated, you've seen the gift of faith operate in your life? Let me see your hands. All right, well, you know you just had faith for something, that faith entered your heart in Jesus' name. Here's what we're going to do. The Bible says that Peter's shadow, as he walked past people, and God healed them. Did you know that? The Bible says Paul's handkerchief. All Paul did was lay hands on a handkerchief. And when he laid hands on a handkerchief, when the other people came in touch with a handkerchief, because it wasn't the handkerchief that healed them, it was faith. Are you hearing me? And there was just an aid to the faith. There was a point of contact to the faith. That's why the Bible says the anointing of oil. The oil has no power in and of itself, but it's symbolic. It's a tangible, visible means by which people connect to this as a way of connecting to God by faith. Are you hearing me? So I want everybody who's standing up right now to lift your hands. And I'm going to believe for an absolute supernatural impartation. Those who've had this gift, if you're standing near someone, would you please just put your hand on their shoulder? Just if you're near somebody right now. Church, can we all now stand up? You see the people whose hands are lifted. And if you've operated this gift of faith, I want you to put your hand on someone's shoulder. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it is by your Spirit. And Lord, we get an agreement right now for whatever the miracle is, for this gift of faith to be given. Lord, I know your word says that faith comes by hearing. And Lord, these are people who are sitting under the word of God, and faith is being preached. And I thank you, Lord, that faith can come by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. And Lord, today we've heard from your word, and we lay hands on these people, and we believe in the name of Jesus for the supernatural gift of faith to come. Lord, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe God just did something, give God some praise. Come on, by faith, everybody online. Come on, everybody online. Give God some praise. Oh, come on, give God some praise. I want everybody to walk out of here today. I want everybody online to feel like your faith has grown. To feel like you're gonna believe God just for that. Not just a gift of faith, not just a saving faith, but a spirit of faith. And the way it comes is by being in the house of God. And I'm going to hand it back to Josh in just a moment, but I want to talk to people who are online. I want to talk to everybody who's standing. And I want everybody to stay standing just for a moment. I want to pray with you and for you if you've never given your life to Jesus. You see, my friend, look at me. The greatest operation of faith in my life will always be to see people come into the kingdom of God. To see people come to faith, to put their faith not in church. Oh, please, God, never in a pastor. Can anybody say amen? You ought to pray for your pastor. Amen. You ought to love your pastor. You ought to encourage your pastor. But let me tell you, don't have faith in me. Have faith in God. Can you say amen? And I want to pray for people. Look at me. I have faith today that people are going to come into the kingdom of God. The Bible says that one person, the one here today, is more important than 100 others. That if you don't yet know Jesus, and this is the greatest faith I have, and I've got faith for a lot of things, but this is the greatest faith I have, is to see people come into a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you once gave your life to Christ, but you know today you're not living for God like you once were. I have faith for you, my friend. That you can come back to God. You can surrender your life afresh to Jesus. I have faith for you. Look at me, church. I don't ever want to be that weird church. I want to be supernatural. You hearing me? I want miracles. I want faith. I want healings. I want miracles. But I don't want to be that pastor who has to feel like he has to somehow spiritually manipulate or exhibit things that are just extreme. God is supernatural. We believe in the miracles of God. The greatest miracle that ever happens in a church is the miracle of salvation. I'm not chasing gold dust out of some ceiling. I'm not just chasing after signs and wonders. Signs and wonders follow the preaching of the Word of God. And the Word of God was preached today. And I know today the miracle of salvation is going to take place right here, right now, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I want to pray for you. If you say, Steve, I don't know Jesus. Steve, I'm not yet a Christian. Steve, I need to come back to God. Look at me. I have faith for you that you'll meet Jesus today in a real, in a tangible way. I'm going to ask everybody just for a moment while we're standing, just to have your eyes closed. And if I'm talking to you and you say, Steve, pray for me. I don't yet know Jesus. Steve, I've never had a life-changing encounter with Jesus. Steve, I need to come back to God. Lift your hand right now, all over the building. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. That's it. Hands are being raised. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Who else will lift your hand? Say, Steve, you're talking to me. God bless you. God bless you. Keep lifting them. God bless you right there. Keep lifting them. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. There are hands being raised all over the building. God bless you right there. Thank you. I see that hand as well. Online, I want to encourage you as well to make that decision. And people online are making that decision. My last call, if you haven't lifted your hand, but you know you should, right at the back, I see that hand. My last call, lift it right now and say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, include me in that prayer. God bless you. You were worth waiting for right there. Can we give a Lord a hand for every single person? Two hands. Two more hands. Hey, that's what got me from Sydney, Australia, to come to Virginia Beach, knowing that I would pastor a church where people would come to faith in Jesus. Come on, somebody, give God some praise. Say this with me out loud. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to make yourself real to me. I receive you now. By faith, I am saved through your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, give the Lord a hand.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.